In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Brothers and sisters, just last Sunday we celebrated that great day of Pentecost, the day in which the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples and filled them with Himself, with holiness. And it was precisely this Spirit of holiness, the Holy Spirit, that would then spread throughout all of the world in the formation of saints. The saint is simply one who has acquired holiness through the Spirit of God. And this is actually what the church produces. The church produces saints. That is the very reason why the church is here, to make saints. Like factories produce products, or schools produce graduates, the church produces saints. And today we commemorate all of the saints, the men, women, and children who have shown forth in this godliness from the beginning of time to the end of time. We commemorate all of the saints, these holy people. Last Sunday, before we bent our knees in prayer, before we bowed our heads, submissively inclining our necks, I suggested, in fact, I gave advice, or perhaps even a warning, that we should not dare to look up and see the Lord face to face. This might seem contradictory to us. You might say, well, isn't that the whole point of why we're here? To see the Lord face to face? And of course it is. Of course it is. We are here to come into the right relationship with God, to be able to look at Him and He us, and to abide in this union with Him. But the Scriptures give us counsel. In Exodus, for instance, we read chapter 33, verse 20, no one can see the face of God and live. Well, that's Old Testament. How about from the New Testament? St. Paul writes that, for now we see through a glass, darkly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I also am known. Then I shall know even as I also am known. Then in the next age. Precisely actually begins at the day of judgment when we come before God and see Him face to face. And He looks upon us. Then we shall know, we shall see Him. And as St. Paul says, then I shall also be known. That is the character of who I am, what I've become. That shall be made known on the day of judgment. And all of this time that's given to us in this life is to get us ready for that, so that we can look at God face to face. And for that, brothers and sisters, for us to look face to face with God, we have to do something. And that's make sure that we're not wearing a mask. Because when we wear a mask, we can't look face to face on the other person. You know, in this world, we love our masks. You think about if you have an online persona, Facebook or Instagram, or any of those kind of social networks, we always have a face that we show to the world. A mask, really, because it's not our own face. It's really an image of what we want to portray. In fact, life is like that too. It's not just online. Real life is that way too. This is a pageant of life. St. Andrew of Crete says that in his canon. Or a big masquerade party. Everyone knows what a masquerade party is, right? You come together for a party and you got to wear a mask. You have to get in. And that's sometimes how this world is. We feel like we have to put forth something other than who we are so that we fit in. I was reading an article online from Psychology Today. And in the article, they talk about this syndrome called the imposter syndrome. And the imposter syndrome is something that everyone can suffer from. It's the fear that the world is going to find out who we truly are. That the mask will be taken off and will be shown to be an imposter. And there are a number of examples of how we might hide behind masks from this article. For instance, if we're insecure about ourselves, we might hide behind the mask of name dropping. All the people we know. If we are unsure of our power, we might hide behind the mask of becoming a bully. We mask our debt by living a lifestyle beyond our means, kind of show that maybe we're more wealthy than we are. We pretend things are fine at work, even when we might think that our jobs are on the line. We pretend things are okay in our marriages when there's some distance between ourselves and our spouse. We might even with trivial things. If you go to the gym on your first day, you might walk in like you're Arnold Schwarzenegger, kind of beefing yourself up. You go to school, you might pretend you're Albert Einstein, or go to the basketball court, Michael Jordan, a business meeting, Jeff Bezos. We kind of have these masks that we think that we need so that we can integrate ourselves with this world. And in the article from Psychology Today, they advise removing the mask. And there are three benefits that they give. The first is you can find your full potential in your self-actualization, who you truly are. The second, there is some relief from the exhausting attempt to live an inauthentic life. And the third is healing, because if we remove the mask, then our whole selves can show forth. And if you're going to put back together, let's say, a pot that's broken, you need all the pieces. And the article ends with an admonition to take off our masks and to have no apology, no shame, and no regrets in taking off of our masks. As the article closed, I actually read in italics that this was not just an article in Psychology Today, but it was also a sermon that was preached in a non-Orthodox church in New York City. And then it started to click for me why they would end the article with us being advised to have no apology, no shame, and no regrets. Because when I heard that, I was thinking to myself, what do you mean? When we take off our masks, is there nothing that we should have shame for or regret or nothing that we should give an apology for? It doesn't ring true. Because the very reason that we put on masks in our lives is because of our deficiencies. Because we're not the people that we want to be. The people that we know we're called to be. That's why we put on a mask, so we can pretend to be those people. There are shortcomings when we take off those masks, when we stop pretending. There's actually something to be sorry for. There's something to repent of. And that repentance is for the people whom we become. So when we take off our mask, we should not fear looking at ourselves as we are. But we should also remember, and this is very key to understanding Orthodox theology, we are not our sins. Our sins are our wounds, our blemishes, our disfigurements, our deformities, our ailments, illnesses, sicknesses, diseases. These things are like parasites on the human being. They are not the human being. When we take off our mask of worldliness and we look at ourselves and we see sin, we have to realize that's actually another mask. The mask of sin is keeping us from seeing our true selves, ourselves that were made in the image and the likeness of God. You go to your mirror, and you look in the mirror, and you're looking at your face, and you see your nose, and you see a big booger hanging from your nose. I'm sorry to be crude, but if you see it, you're going to realize pretty quickly, that's actually not my nose. That is a booger, and it's got to be removed. When we look at ourselves and we see our sins, we should feel the exact same way. That's not who we are. The mask is not for the Christian. Not worldly masks and not the mask of sin. We're meant to strip ourselves of these things. But there is something that we are called to put on. And you actually see it in all of the icons today. Look at all of the saints. You notice anything about them? Do they have any masks on? No. They have what's called the halo, the glory, which is actually the inverse of the mask. Right? It's not blocking their faces. It's behind their faces. It's not casting a shadow on their faces and hiding their faces. It's casting light on the face, illuminating it, so that we could see their face better. The halo is the inverse of the mask. And the halo is what we're called to have on. It's been said that light is the great disinfectant. Light is the great disinfectant, right? Cast some light on something and the corruption falls away. Well, God is also the great healer. And his medicine is grace. When God shines his light on us, when he gives us his grace, he heals us. Those wounds, those scars, those disfigurements, those illnesses, those sicknesses, all of those things that plague us, not only are they like parasites to us, but God will get rid of them. And what will be left? Human beings made in his image and likeness. All of those people that we aspire to be like, Schwarzenegger, Einstein, Jordan, Bezos, all of those people, what do they compare to Christ? Who reveals to us not only what it is to be true God, but also what it is to be true man. We become Christ-like. What a great calling for us. What a great destiny. And of course, that's why we're here, right, brothers and sisters? That's why the church was established. So that we can once again receive God's holiness. And in receiving his holiness, to be made whole. But the Lord tells us in today's gospel reading, he says, don't be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation. Don't be ashamed. And our world is ashamed. It's a shame to look at Christ face to face because of the beauty, because of the goodness. So what do we do with people who are too beautiful? We put a mask on them. We hide their glory. Even Moses, he came down from the mountain, they put a mask on him. The glory was too bright. And that's what our culture, our civilization is looking to do to Christ, to put a mask on him. Or if you have some very beautiful woman in those stories of mythology, you lock them up in a tower someplace, put them in a faraway place. Christ is from a long, long time ago. It's not for our day and age. We push him away. Brothers and sisters, when we push away Christ, we also push away our own destiny. Because our destiny is to look at him face to face, to see him as he truly is. And in that light of Christ, in that grace, to see us as he created us, as he wants us to be, as he's redeemed us. This is ultimately our destiny, to stand face to face with Christ in that next age, to look upon him and to look upon one another and to see ourselves as we truly are in his image and likeness. Glory to Jesus Christ. Amen.